You're listening to Michigan Politics, part of the We Love Where You Live podcast series brought to you by the Michigan Municipal League. Here's your host, Matt Bach.
So now I'm with Chelsea Clark. And Chelsea, you're all the way from Colorado, is that correct?
I am. Yes,
and you're here at the 2017 Michigan Municipal League Convention in downtown Holland, Michigan. And Chelsea's going to be our keynote speaker tomorrow. She'll have already spoken probably by the time you've heard this. But Chelsea, tell us a little bit what you're going to be talking about. I believe it has something to do with marijuana. So a lot of people, a lot of communities here in Michigan, this is an issue top of mind with them because we have the medical marijuana issue that's it's a big issue right now here in the state. So go ahead and tell us what's going on in Colorado and what you're hoping to tell to our members.
Sure, absolutely. So what we do with my group is with the Rocky Mountain High Intensity Drug Trafficking Area. We have decided that Colorado kind of became this experimental lab for the rest of the nation.
Right, because they were the first to legalize along with Washington, I think.
Absolutely, yep. By default. So we had medical marijuana for a while, voted that in the year 2000. And then in the year 2013, we actually voted in recreational marijuana along with Washington State.
Right.
We were actually the first state to kind of jump the gun and get started on initiating all of that.
Okay.
And the process of selling that. So we in turn became the first state in the nation to begin this whole recreational legalization process. Therefore, we kind of felt like it was our duty as the experimental lab to start collecting data, start gathering all the thoughts, and really look at how this legalization was impacting our state and what would really come from it.
Right. So interesting, because I have friends and I do stand-up comedy on the side. A lot of my stand-up friends are marijuana smokers. They're like, oh my God, it's brought all this money into Colorado. We need to legalize it here in Michigan. I mean, that's kind of a lot of the sentiment of a lot of people.
Sure,
so
absolutely.
Go ahead with your talk.
So we absolutely look at revenue to the best of our ability too. We kind of cover a broad aspect of this whole topic, really collecting data on any issue that we can look at. So we certainly look at revenue. I think the actual figures would be very surprising to people. One of the points I'm going to make tomorrow is that all of our revenue, even this past year, which seems like a lot of money to the everyday person, to you or I, it would certainly be something I would be happy to receive, is only 0.8% of our statewide budget.
Okay.
So that's really not that big when you're talking about an entire state's budget.
Right.
And then the other piece that is missing from that is the cost. There have been a lot of, you know, unintended consequences that we've had since legalization, and cost is a big factor.
What kind of unintended consequences?
So some of those, specifically with cost, I would say, related to security. We have our downtown Denver 16th Street Mall, which is a very popular place. A lot of people know it. A lot of tourists know it. We have had tremendous issues in the last few years with violent crime and homelessness and just individuals using marijuana on the streets. So much so that the mayor of Denver, Mayor Hancock, came out and said these are some of the consequences of legalized marijuana that we have to deal with.
Right. So you have people that maybe come out of state to Colorado because of this law, and they have no home, they have no job, right? And so you have to, they're homeless.
Absolutely. We do have a homeless population in and of itself, but this is a new group that kind of has the name of travelers. This is typically a younger population, and they will tell you if you talk to them that they are out here, they have no intention of getting a job. They're just hanging out and they want to smoke marijuana. And that is their whole goal. And so they will kind of congregate in some of these populated areas like the downtown 16th Street Mall. So that's absolutely something we did not see. This whole spike in homelessness, individuals coming from other states, even though our climate cannot be so friendly to the homeless population in certain months, it would not be one of my top places. But a lot of individuals, again, will say that they came either because they thought they could get a job in the industry, which they can't without living in Colorado or having the background of that. Or they just came to use it. And so that's a lot of our homeless shelters are absolutely at capacity and over because of this. So that's one of the biggest issues. Crime in general.
Yeah.
We've had about a 16% increase in violent crime just since legalization.
Because people think marijuana is like a mellow thing. So they're like, well, you can't get addicted to it. You know, you're not going to go crazy, but you're not finding that necessarily the case.
Well, you know, one of the things about marijuana that I think was very brand new to me and probably to people that, that don't know this drug very well, it can be, how it impacts people can range all over the board. It can make some people mellow out and kind of this, what they call couch locked, where they just sit there and are in this very sedentary state, but it can also cause psychotic breaks in some individuals. It can cause violent behavior and you really don't know. It impacts people very differently depending on their chemical makeup, their body. That's one of the problems with trying to regulate it like alcohol, which is what the whole goal is that a lot of people say, because it impacts us very, very differently. And apart from alcohol, marijuana itself is inherently a psychotic substance. So it impacts your brain no matter who you are. That's the THC component of that.
So now here in Michigan, communities are having the opportunity of whether they want to opt in or opt out. Actually, they just have to opt in. They don't even have to vote to opt out. And that includes if they want to have dispensaries or, you know, growing facilities and different things like that. So what should these kind of communities be looking at as they go back to their city councils to try to make these type of decisions?
Absolutely. Well, I think that the opt-in, opt-out is great because in Colorado, we have that as well. And 75% of our municipalities have opted out. So it is not by far the popular decision across the state to opt into this. But I think one of the best things to know is this report that we put together. It is data from all across the board. It's most of it's from federal or state organizations. None of it's ours. We just collect it and put it into one document.
Because you're really, I guess, not know if nonpartisan is the right word, but you're trying to be neutral on this issue, right?
Absolutely. And that is our position. Our whole stance is we felt we had the responsibility to share with the nation what was happening. We collect the data, put it together, and then you decide. You decide if you want this in your community, if you like what's happening, or if you don't, use that. So our report covers areas all the way from traffic fatalities and impaired driving to youth and adult use. We look at ER and hospitalization rates, calls to the poison control center, which a lot of people are surprised also includes a lot of pets and animals.
Like eating the stuff?
Absolutely. Yeah. A lot of that's been because of the edibles. Children too. Children and animals. So that's been a big challenge, I would say, for our legislators trying to deal with that topic in and of itself. But we cover anything that we can get our hands on. Treatment. We look at diversion. That's both from our state through our highway system and then through the mail. So Colorado now has become such a supplier of marijuana, not only to the rest of the nation, but outside of our nation as well.
So has it, you're saying the municipalities, local municipalities here should really look at Colorado and your study. Is that what you're saying?
I mean, we've gone down this road and and we have undertaken this. So my advice personally would be to look at what we're doing, see if A, if this is what you want, and then B, why jump into it? You know, it's been a few years. We officially were legal in the year 2013. Our first recreational shops didn't open until 2014. So we're 3 years down the road from that. But there has been so many changes already in that short amount of time.
In the law, or you mean in, as far as what changes?
There's been some change in the law, absolutely. They're tweaking and trying to get things, particularly with edibles. Another topic is the butane hash oil explosions, the doing extractions of the THC concentrate on your own at home.
That sounds like a lot of science for me.
It's a lot of science, but basically the end result is that the people were unfortunately blowing up their houses themselves.
Oh, that's not good.
So no, it wasn't good. And one of our laws allowed for that. Obviously they're tweaking that and trying to refine things, we pretty much let the cat out of the bag and they're trying to very slowly slip some parts back in, but it's very difficult once you go down that road. So if it were me personally and I was looking at this, I would absolutely give it more time and see what's happening. That's one of the beauty of the report and the way we look at it. We look at trends. We're not just looking at what happened last year to this year. We're trying to look at the whole scope. We, of course, like Michigan, have medical marijuana legalized, and then we went to recreational. So we've seen changes in both of those fronts. And you can see that throughout our report. So absolutely, if I was a municipal leader in any way, I would look at this and see what could be the potential impacts to my community. How would we deal with that? And is that something that we want to have to deal with?
Did you see, you mentioned at the start that 75% decided not to do it. Have there been much fluctuation in that number as far as communities starting to say, hey, after a couple of years, now we want to do it? Or in communities saying, oh, no, we don't want to do this anymore? Have you seen any fluctuation with that?
Not as a whole. There's been some that have gone a little bit. I would say the only real changes is that they're allowed to decide on any aspect if they want to allow grow facilities within their community, if they want to have recreational shops, if they want to have dispensaries. So more on those lines, we've seen a little bit of wiggle room where some communities that have said we want no shops within our city limits, that they'll move and say, well, we'll allow a warehouse to be a grow facility.
Okay.
We have not seen a lot of cities pop up and start now having those that have previously not wanted it. The one thing, though, is Pueblo. Pueblo has kind of become one of our biggest cities for the marijuana industry. And they did this last year, actually have a big push to vote to repeal the industry from Pueblo. It did not pass. But that was the biggest push we've seen from a city so far.
So they tried to get rid of it.
They did. Yeah. Okay. Their homeless population, everything they're seeing down there has been a huge impact to the city. So
maybe based on that experience or maybe others, is it pretty hard once you get in to kind of get out then?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes. A lot of that is money.
Yeah.
There is money involved, obviously,
because
that's one of the biggest appeals, I think, to people
and
to city leaders. If that wasn't a issue, I don't think
is there a revenue advantage for a local city or to do that? I mean, a tax advantage to do it?
You know, honestly, I wouldn't know specifically. I know that there's money that comes in.
Okay.
I know that the people that are in this industry make a lot of money.
Mm-hmm.
How much of it actually goes to the city? We have very high tax rates.
Yeah.
We have about 30 to 35% depending on the municipality. I will say there's already been a push to kind of move that back because our black market not only has not gone away, but they want to be more competitive with black market prices.
Oh, interesting.
So
that didn't disappear, the regulation.
Absolutely not.
Okay.
Nope. It's a thriving black market. And a lot of our law enforcement are more involved in marijuana cases than they have been in the recent past.
Why would that? Because the people, it's just easier just to sell it on the streets and trying to set up the shop and go through all the proper channels. Is that why they're still, both are still there?
It's pretty easy to kind of manipulate the law and take advantage of it and just the atmosphere within Colorado, we've heard people say is more lenient, so it's more appealing place for them to go. There is misunderstanding about the law that you can grow marijuana plants on your own. The legislator has made recent changes. It used to be that if you had a medical card, you could get up to a 99 plant count recommendation from a physician.
Right.
With our recreational legalization law, you can grow 6 plants per person. That's your Colorado state constitutional right. They also had language in there that said you could assist somebody else growing their 6 plants. So we had multiple home grows with hundreds of marijuana plants and law enforcement couldn't do anything about it.
Okay.
So it absolutely, I mean, it's been a way for people to, the home grows in general, and then not being able to necessarily 100% know what's happening with the regulated side has allowed for some movement on the black market side.
Okay. Well, good. Well, Chelsea Clark, I appreciate you joining the podcast. I have one Colorado joke for my stand-up.
Okay.
I don't think it's funny. In fact, I've cut it from my routine, but I'm going to run it and I'm going to try it here. When I was in high school, I went through a Christian phase and actually did missionary work at a Christian camp in Colorado.
Okay.
It was called Rocky Mountain High on God. Not funny. That's why I cut it from my routine. So. Well, thank you for joining. Thank you for listening.
Thanks, Matt.
Thank you. Bye.
This has been a production of the Michigan Municipal League. For more information on our programs and services, please visit www.mml.org and join us for the next episode of We Love Where You Live.